Chapter 9. I haven't been feeling well for the last few days. He might have meant this as an opening to a complete confidence. But Mrs. Verloc laid her head on the pillow again, and staring upward, went on. That boy hears too much of what is talked about here. If I had known they were coming tonight, I would have seen to it that he went to bed at the same time I did. He was out of his mind with something he overheard about eating people's flesh and drinking blood. What's the good of talking like that? There was a note of indignant scorn in her voice. Mr. Verloc was fully responsive now. Ask Carl Yundt, he growled savagely. Mrs. Verloc, with great decision, pronounced Carl Yundt disgusting old man. She declared openly her affection for Michaelis. Of the robust Ossipon, in whose presence she always felt uneasy behind an attitude of stony reserve, she said nothing whatever. And continuing to talk of that brother, who had been for so many years an object of care and fears. He isn't fit to hear what's said here. He believes it's all true. He knows no better. He gets into his passions over it. Mr. Verloc made no comment. He glared at me, as if he didn't know who I was, when I went downstairs. His heart was going like a hammer. He can't help being excitable. I woke Mother up, and asked her to sit with him till he went to sleep. It isn't his fault. He's no trouble when he's left alone. Mr. Verloc made no comment. I wish he had never been to school, Mrs. Verloc began again brusquely. He's always taking away those newspapers from the window to read. He gets a red face poring over them. We don't get rid of a dozen numbers in a month. They only take up room in the front window. And Mr. Ossipon brings every week a pile of these FP tracts to sell at a halfpenny each. I wouldn't give a halfpenny for the whole lot. It's silly reading, that's what it is. There's no sale for it. The other day Stevie got hold of one, and there was a story in it of a German soldier officer tearing half off the ear of a recruit, and nothing was done to him for it. The brute. I couldn't do anything with Stevie that afternoon. The story was enough to make one's blood boil. But what's the use of printing things like that? We aren't German slaves here, thank God. It's not our business, is it? Mr. Verloc made no reply. I had to take the carving knife from the boy, Mrs. Verloc continued, a little sleepily now. He was shouting and stamping and sobbing. He can't stand the notion of any cruelty. He would have stuck that officer like a pig, if he had seen him then. It's true too. Some people don't deserve much mercy. Mrs. Verloc's voice ceased, and the expression of her motionless eyes became more and more contemplative and veiled during the long pause. Comfortable, dear? She asked in a faint, faraway voice. Shall I put out the light now? The dreary conviction that there was no sleep for him held Mr. Verloc mute and hopelessly inert in his fear of darkness. He made a great effort. Yes. Put it out, he said at last in a hollow tone. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.